breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio. Riding off my thoughts of old, walking down these streets of gold.
We're back, waiting for Bill Downs. Give him a minute. Yep. I should almost have Casey call. Mark is back. We forgot one horse to talk about in the mile. We forgot to talk about the Korean horse, Blue Chipper. Blue Chipper. Speaking, by the way, of the Koreans, they swung into action yesterday. The KOID bought a handful of yearlings yesterday. I saw that. Because we brought them up. Who'd we bring them up with? With Tom Ventura. With Tommy, brought him up at OBS. So see how many they take with them. And as we mentioned, the fact came up. For some reason, it came up yesterday, right? About the dirt, or last week, about the dirt that, you know, they run a lot of dirt races in Korea. Turn our attention, though, right now to Indiana Grand. And Bill Downs was given the I don't know what to call it, the unenviable task of explaining a quadruple DQ.
Yeah.
Holy cow, Bill. That was something.
Yeah, it certainly was. And I know the stewards weren't really too thrilled with it because not only was there four fouls, you think, okay, quarter horse race, yeah, it's short, wham, bam, real quick. But it was like a symphony of fouls all within about 5 or 6 seconds. And they were all no-brainers. It wasn't like, okay, we got three, we're going to, you know, attack out one more just to make it really make a point. No, these were four no-brainer calls. And then I think the four horse got DQ'd twice.
Wasn't enough to interfere with one horse. Let me go create an issue with a second runner.
Yeah, and I made a joke about it because everyone was fine after the race. So you can make a joke on it. If, you know, no one was hurt or anything like that. But I made a comment. I'm like, well, we're going to have to put out a lawn ad for quarter horse jockeys for the final couple of weeks because all these guys have got, you know, got DQ'd in a race. And, you know, we only run one or two quarter horse races a day, and then we have those special six all quarter horse nights. We got one left this coming Saturday, by the way. But, you know, that you don't have as many quarter horse jockeys, if you will. There used to be a few thoroughbred jockeys, not a few, a couple that would cross over. The one that used to do it up until about a couple years ago, or even this year maybe, is Ronnie Prescott. Ronnie decided to end his quarter horse career, if you will, because they are certainly unpredictable. They are a highly strung animals, and they're fun to watch, but when things go haywire a little bit awry, then some strange things can happen.
Meanwhile, I had to bring it up because you had so much fun, you know, trying to explain to everybody what was, you know, what had transpired. Pretty crazy.
Yeah. The thing is that usually in my call, if I see it, I'll kind of mention there's contact there or whatnot. But the winner was clear, or not clear, like, you know, quarter horse racing, if you win by a length, that's like about 3.5 lengths, yeah, thoroughbred. But I didn't see any fouls with him, so I wasn't, like, really in tune that there was just chaos happening behind, and I don't watch the head-on during a race. I'm looking through my binoculars, so it's hard for me sometimes to see the fouls as well. And then on top of that, you only got like 15, 20 seconds in a race, so therefore sure. You got to describe the action. And so I was like, oh, look at, I'm like, okay, inquire. All right. Oh. And then it was just like, oh, wow, this is going to take a while.
I got a kick out of it. And meanwhile, you look toward the last couple of weeks of the meet, and you can see the finish line now.
Yes, we can. And when you have a 120-day meet, when you got 10 left, you definitely are starting to wind down, if you will. We got, 2.5 weeks of racing left. We'll have 2 full weeks of racing, Tuesday and Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, first post Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, 2:15, Saturday, 6:15. And we've got the final quarter horse night on Saturday. A lot of the big stakes races at the richest quarter horse night in the state of Indiana. And then we end up with a couple of stakes races on the Tuesday and a couple of stakes races on closing day, Wednesday, after the Breeders' Cup, a couple two-year-old races on Tuesday, and then a couple of races going around the ground for the older horses on closing day on Wednesday.
Well, and I'm just looking at the action this afternoon and tomorrow. And again, it's just nice, big, full fields, 9, 10, 10, 10, 9, 9, 12, day after day. Sometimes horses start to thin out and the fields have a chance to kind of get less attractive. But it looks like everybody's trying to get in their last shots, particularly with the Indiana breds, like we brought up a couple of weeks ago. This is your chance to run. So,
right.
Full fields and what looked to be a lot of quality too. You got second level allowances. You've got first level allowance. A couple of turf sprints next couple of days. You got maiden specials. Something for everybody.
Yeah, I was trying to figure it out. We started off the season very slow, and I kind of knew in my head we would, because part of it is that we get some horses from Oaklawn, and Oaklawn runs a little bit later. And so, therefore, we had some, late-arriving stables. So, this is a good problem to have, is having lots of horses and having in big fields. I texted you, we are off the turf today. We finally got some rain in this area. It was unbelievable. We almost went like about 7 weeks with about barely one even noticeable rainfall, which for around here, we're not like Seattle or anything like that, but it does rain in the summertime and in the fall here in central Indiana. So we had a great stretch of dry weather, which obviously helps the turf course last a little bit longer. Towards the end of the meet, if you get a lot of rain, the turf course can get beat up a little bit after been running on it for about 4 months or so. But, it's been a really great entry box. I do the morning line, and I write program comments for the people that are on track that buy our program. And usually I'd be getting the overnights and the PPs even before the first race. And that during the year, usually it's around, about race number three, I'll get them. So the fact that they're entering horses with some quantity is showing you that the racing office is, A, putting out the right races, and B, there's no shortage of horses, at least around here, that want to run towards the end of the year.
No, no doubt. The trick looking at these two cards, two of the, some of the better, some of the races that, I kind of was hoping to talk about were
yes.
turf, and we're not going to know until scratches are in, and going to make it hard. I mean, you had really those two allowances, the turf sprints, the seventh race, both this afternoon and tomorrow. Tomorrow maybe stays on turf, but that seventh today, you just, you know, nothing really you can do until you know, who's staying in and who's coming out.
Yeah, and then unfortunately, usually Equibase is pretty good. I didn't check in the last 5 minutes, but usually they give you we update the site but it looks like the whole site is not updating because nobody has their scratches out. Usually, you know, some of the East Coast tracks will have the scratches out real early, and we do updates a little after 9 a.m. and a little after 11 a.m. and I didn't see anything going on there, so. But you mentioned the seventh race, and you know you can kind of tell who's going to probably come out of the race. You know, I don't think Leighton Revenge is going to run for Greg Foley. That's a speedster who definitely needs a lead. I think horses that move up quite a bit, obviously, is the dirt horse Cape McKenzie. If he wants to run, Iowa bred, has won three of his four races in his career. Andrina Star has got a lot of early speed, and he's been running on the dirt. He set a pretty fast pace last time out, pressured pace, and won. And then Augie, who finished ahead of him in that race, who ran on turf last time out at Keeneland, is the horse that is interesting. He's very, very honest. He doesn't always like to win, but he is going to be right behind the speed of maybe Drina Star and Kate McKenzie in that race. And the horse I'm interested in seeing how he runs is Land Battle, who's done all right. He did all right on the turf last time out, but it was way back in May, and he was coming off of a little bit of layoff. Now he's off another layoff. I'm not sure if Kim Hammond's going to run this one off on an off surface, because I'm pretty sure we'll start the day on a muddy track. But that's just a few of the horses in race number seven, I think, that will run with this race coming off the turf.
Let's at least touch on something from DeMar, in case we stay. I don't know how much more weather you're going to get, but take a look at the seventh tomorrow, if you would.
Okay.
And let's assume it stays on, because this is a very competitive group.
Yes, yes. There's a lot of early speed, I think, with, you know, Candy Appeal, who finished second level last time out and has run well on the turf in both of her career starts. She's got a lot of early speed, and then Moretta's got a lot of early speed. I watched that race back on July 28th. Moretta was ran well, went under mild pressure, but was a little bit off the rail on the turn and in the stretch, not knowing, you know, but I didn't watch every race at Arlington that day, so I'm not sure if it was, you know, they were just trying to avoid it. But usually with turf races, you don't tend to avoid the rail. But Moretta ran all right, and then Sophie Doyle is coming in to ride Moretta for Raul de la Mora. Others in here, I think Moon Over Cabo, who's won his last race at Arlington, has a good running style, stalking pace, pressure type of horse. I think he's interesting as well. And so, you know, it's still an interesting race. I just don't know. I don't know if I can take Candy Appeal with the presence of Moretta, or maybe is Candy Appeal a little bit quicker than Moretta. Moretta's stepping up in class, but she's won her last couple races by daylight. It's just one of those handicapping dilemmas that you got to figure out by the time you wager on the seventh race tomorrow.
Well, plenty of maidens too to take in. 2-year-old action tomorrow,
yeah,
as well. I hope the weather clears out so you can get this card in as laid out.
Yeah, that 2-year-old race, the third race tomorrow, is interesting, and you got the favorite New Eagle, who is second at this class level at Indiana Grand. But I'm really hoping the first time starter Extra Mile draws in for Klein Racing for trainer Brad Cox, a son of Country Day out of a deputy commander mare. The dam has produced quite a few turf horses, and Country Day's really pretty good with first-time turf horses. They'll be drawn on the outside. De La Cruz is named on both Extra Mile and Overlay. I think Extra Mile is his first preference. So this first-time starter might be able to run a bit in race number three, but, of course, we'll see if the race stays on the turf, hopefully, because we haven't had that much rain. So if we get a 24 hours of no more rain, then we might be all right.
Well, Bill, appreciate it. We'll visit right after Breeders' Cup. I'll talk to you, in fact, from California. I leave that Tuesday on the 5th,
yeah.
So couple more stakes yet to be run, and the season winded down. What do you do during the off season?
Well, you know, I've been not much right now, but that remains to be seen. I do some traveling. Last year was kind of dictated by my father
right.
and his declining health. I got an elderly mom who lives up in Chicago. So I like to be able to visit family, and then I also go on a couple little trips. I usually go down to Florida for a little bit. I'm not like one of those people that stay down there for 2 months or anything like that. But I a little traveling, a little see family, and all that good stuff. I usually need a couple of months to decompress, if you will. So, but
no doubt.
One final thing, Breeders' Cup. Of course, we've got a lot of horses that run at Indiana Grand this year. You got Street Band, you got Mr. Money, Math Wizard. So I'm kind of looking forward to seeing how those horses do on the big stage. And, you know, the other horses that have run at Indiana Grand in the past, Andesite, for Brad Cox, I believe it's Brad Cox, going to run one of the juvenile turf races, broke the maiden here at Indiana Grand. Last year, Owendale broke his maiden at Indiana Grand. Serengeti Empress broke her maiden at Indiana Grand.
That's right. That's
and
right.
Zulu Alpha started his career. He won a couple of races over this turf course. So a lot of Indiana Grand connections that horses followed over the last couple of years, all going to be running on Breeders' Cup weekend. Hopefully maybe one of them will get the job done and get the big money in the Breeders' Cup in their respective races.
I love it. And that's a lot.
that's a considerable
list and some prominent.
Yeah, it's not a bad list, isn't it?
Very much.
Totally Boss. I forgot about Totally Boss. He won an allowance race here in 2018. He's going to be one of the favorites in the turf sprint. So add that one to the list.
But I'll tell you what. I will now, as I look through the PPs tomorrow night when they post, I'm going to add them all up and make note. I love it. Bill, I appreciate it as always. Good luck in the cup, and we'll talk right after it.
All right, Steve. Thanks.
Bill Downs, and you follow Bill Downs 1 on Twitter, Indiana Grand, and just two more weeks left of their long season, and it's been a good one for them. And with the kind of, obviously today, impacted by the weather, but otherwise, awfully good. We're going to stay here. Jay Pridman is going to be joining us live from Santa Anita, and Jay... The first question will be and get some immediate feedback because McKenzie with a serious work undoubtedly his most serious work that he's going to put in between now and Breeders' Cup. And I think they called it a 6 furlong work. We'll talk to Priv, and we're going to end up in trouble for both Jeremy and John White. So things have, we spun out of control a little bit today, but it was certainly worthwhile between Brad's visit earlier, Ian Wilkes, Nikki Henderson, which was a real pleasure to have Nikki on for the first time. About every 6 months, we had another international training visit. David Simcock was on earlier in the year as well. So we'll catch up with John. I'm going to guess tomorrow, and probably we'll see with 15 minutes left about Jay. There we go. Jay Pridman is going to join us from Santa Anita. Jay, good morning.
Hey, Steve. How are you?
Excellent, excellent. I just caught wind of with Mike Welsh tweeting about McKenzie's work.
Yes, no, McKenzie worked. So did Bast for the juvenile fillies. Those were two for Baffert. But the work that's got everybody buzzing is Matoli for the sprint. It was wild. He just was. And I mean, no fast horses work fast, but this horse. He really picked everybody's head up this morning with just a fabulous work out of the gate. So those were among the highlights from this morning.
Well, and we'll get a chance probably to, you know, to see them all later this afternoon on XBTV.com. Jay, some other thoughts? On a steady basis, we're getting, you know, news of various horses that in some cases are surprise entrants. Anything out there on the grapevine?
No, I mean, everything will be revealed tomorrow, Steve. So, you know, sure. You know, I mean, most of the stuff I knew of, I wrote, you know, I wrote the other day, you know, like Catalina Cruz are going to the sprint,
right.
You know, things of that nature. So, but I don't expect to see too many other things that of prominent horses that matter much. I did pick up one little nugget this morning. Rafael Bejarano is going to ride Improbable in the Dirt Mile. He's back working horses for Baffert, who, you know, seems to cycle through people. But now it's Bejarano who's in good graces. He worked both Bast and McKenzie this morning, and he's going to ride Improbable in the Dirt Mile.
Well, good. Good for Rafi, who on to some degree has been kind of absent from you know, a lot of big days. His career is very, I don't know, Jay. It's an unusual story. I mean, it felt like Rafi Bejarano always had all the tools, and I don't know. He kind of plateaued to some degree, didn't he? Is that a fair assessment?
Well, I mean, there are a couple things happened. First off, I think the passing of Bobby Frankel really was a major interruption to his career, because, you know, remember, he won the Breeders' Cup Filly Mare Turf on Intercontinental, for instance,
yeah.
For him. You know, that was a while ago. I mean, that was at Belmont Park.
Yeah.
Back in 2005. And then, you know, more recently, he's just had a couple of times where he's had pretty significant injuries that have kept
True.
Him away for a while, and even earlier this year. But he really started to – he did well this summer at Del Mar. And that was when he really started to get rolling, he's maybe leveled off a little bit since the heady days of the first half of that meet. But he's still certainly doing better than he was, let's say, a year ago, and he's picking up more and better opportunities. And like you say, he is noticeably absent a lot from Triple Crown races or Breeders' Cup, more so than a guy who's accomplished what he has, you would think would be. So hopefully he'll start getting a few more opportunities again at this level.
Yeah, I always have always liked them, and that's good that he's going to get some opportunities out of the Baffert barn. I also, Jay, just looking at your feed, and a classic Baffert quip regarding Bast's work versus versus Mattoli. That's pretty funny.
Yeah, he said he thought the track wasn't that fast until Mattoli worked. I had somebody ask me, he didn't like Bast's work, or, you know, something like that on Twitter. I said, no, it's not bad. It was just that Mattoli's work was just so off the charts good, it made everything else look slow by comparison. He watched the work like everybody else did, and it was just came away pretty. It was pretty impressive. I hope it'll be on, you know, loaded onto XBTV with their workout portal soon enough, and people will be able to watch it. But it was pretty wild, especially the way he worked from the gate. They wanted to get a really strong work into him, because don't forget, he hasn't run for a while. He's coming into this race pretty fresh. They wanted to get a really strong work into him, and I mean, he came out of the gate like a quarter horse. He just flew out of there and just kept rolling right along. Mike Smith did the Asmussen barn a favor. He's not riding the horse in the Breeders' Cup, but he worked the horse today. He actually worked Wicked Whisper yesterday for the Juvenile Fillies. He's not riding her in the Juvenile Fillies, but he just he's been helping them out. Obviously, his big mount for them is Midnight Bizu.
Well, 58.27 on a track that has not yielded a fast time in ages.
Yeah, he made the track fast. And don't forget, that's out of the gate. That's not with a run-up either.
Right.
So, I mean, it was...
Wow.
It was pretty impressive. It's, you know, you don't see too many like that around here.
That is crazy. Well, Jay, I appreciate it. We've had a strong showing for DRF today with Brad Free giving us a bit of the distaff preview. Marcus gave us his early read on the juvenile turf, and which looks very good, and the mile as well. So I appreciate it as always, and we're going to catch up at the end of the week too.
We will see you when you get out here. Yes. Yeah, sure. I mean, I'll, if there's more news by the end of the week, sure, I'll come on. Otherwise, you've got plenty of other people who could pitch in. We'll see what transpires over the next few days. If there's news to report or not in the races that I'm covering.
Well, and we've got 11:30 tomorrow, right? The release of the pre-entries, which,
well, if you're on the East Coast, I mean, those of us out here might say it's at 8:30.
I guess that's true. That's fair. The way they, you know, 11:30 Eastern, 8:30. I guess we throw in 10:30 Central and 8:30 Pacific. Jay Pribman, thank you. I'll catch up with you later in the week.
By the way, yesterday's interview with
Neil
Passan was just off the charts great. I mean, when Neil Passan wins, we all win. It was just, he's one of my all-time favorite people. Whenever I go to New Orleans, we always go grab a meal somewhere. And we went to, when I was there last spring, we went to Pascal Manali's for lunch one day, and it was great. He didn't mention Pascal Manali's yesterday when he was giving you the
That's
rundown,
true.
But he put you on some winners, so that was good.
Well, I will tell you that. You know, I can always gauge a reaction to visits and, you know, based on emails and social media response. And this got a huge response. Everybody and you know, he was self-effacing about, you know, I tried to convey to him how many people were delighted that he got this win. And he downplayed it. But no, it's really true. He's really one of the best, like, you know, horseman out there.
No, he's a really good person. So it's just nice to see him win a race like that.
No doubt. Yeah. And I for those of you that didn't see it, I did tweet the six places that Neil delivered: two in Chicago, one in Lexington, and the three in and around New Orleans. Really fun. Really fun. Jay, thanks a lot.
All right, Steve. Take care. We'll see you out here.
You got it. Jay Pribman, everybody. And I don't think we're going to get to, yeah, it's crazy to reach for Jeremy now. We'll get Jeremy and John tomorrow. I apologize to both. And I apologize to everybody for not getting to them as previously offered, as advertised. I tell you what, I'm reaching for the wire too. I can hear it. I can hear it in my voice. A couple of notes then about. Let me give you a couple of things about Keeneland, because that race tomorrow, that sixth race, it's a $80,000 purse. Three and up, which have never won four races, other than maiden claiming starter restricted, or statebreds, or those which have not won two other than on the turf in 2019. So a couple of hybrid conditions. It's a 5.5 turf sprint. And listen to this field. You've got Bulletin for Todd Pletcher, the three-year-old that won the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf Sprint last year, and has really kind of struggled a little bit this year. It hasn't really caught a wave as a three-year-old. Holiday Stone, Eddie Keneally for the Hills, who are really having a good season. Undrafted, only won $1.6 million. The nine-year-old How many sons or daughters of Purim are still out there running, undrafted? Purim's best son. Farik for John Ortiz was very nice coming out of the Woodford. Ingrid Mason with the nuclear option, 15-1. Royal Commish, Paula Mechanic. Wesley Hawley's got Jazzy Times, who's very nice, actually. And Great Wide Open, Connor Murphy. Smart Remark, Vicky Oliver. Hartwood, back from that trip to Korea and the Korea Sprint. And Hartwood, seven-time winner. The five-year-old Tappet, bound for nowhere. Last seen at Royal Ascot. And Wilbo, good old Wilbo, seven-year-old for Chris Hartman. Unbelievable. A really fun race. And there's also the seventh is good, too. Second level allowance on the dirt has got some nice ones involved. Frolic Moore, for instance. Dallas Stewart. Done Deal, Ian Wilkes. I focused with Ian earlier on the maiden races as opposed to, I should have slipped that in actually. So anyway, tomorrow, Keeneland, pretty good. And we'll get caught up, I promise, with Jeremy. So that's it really. Yeah. Crazy to start anything else really. That's piled up here. I did have those two other races that I didn't finish earlier, right? With when we went through the results from Laurel, from Maryland Million. There were two. There we go. Right here, I saved the two from the turf. Mr. D'Angelo with Julian Toledo for Tim Woolley. Homebred for Kevin Morgan, a Seville gelding. Nice price, too, 17-1. And Forest Fire won the Classic for John Service and Shirley Lajeski, the cheap red Forest Fire, who's a perfect example of the quirkiness of the Maryland Million program. Actually a Pennsylvania bred, but by Friesian Fire. So that's the qualifier. So we'll get to New York. We still have to get the showcase results, too, and plenty more. There's a little too much going on. Want to thank Ian Wilkes and Brad Free, Marcus Hirsch, Jay Pribman, Bill Downs, and Nikki Anderson. A real treat. Real honor to have Nikki Anderson. Good luck if you're playing today, everybody. We'll talk to you in the morning at the races.
With Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Play the Empire 6 at Belmont Park featuring daily payouts and a carryover jackpot. Best of all, it only takes 20 cents to take down the Empire. One unique winning ticket earns the entire net pool plus the jackpot carryover. Without a unique ticket, 75% is distributed to winners with 25% added to the jackpot. The Empire 6 consists of the final six races each race day at Belmont Park, and the next jackpot carryover mandatory payout is Sunday, October 27th. Learn more at nyra.com/Empire 6. The Empire 6, play small and win big.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
How's it going, Sue?
Hey!
Have you seen this commercial?
What career track are you on?
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck.
Isn't that the horse racing school that Bob Baffert went to?
Yeah, Todd Fletcher, too, and lots of other major players in every area of the industry.
Really? Like what?
Well, for starters, we have graduates who are executives at Churchill Downs, NYRA, Darley America, Gulfstream, Keeneland, you name it. They're also regulators, racing officials, bloodstock agents, track announcers. My class had a job placement rate of almost 90%.
Wow, what other college program has results like that?
What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.